Today I wanted to share just a little bit about in Buddhism, during times of challenge, do we veer off our path? When we are really busy with something, do we continue to practice, or do we turn away from our practice? And it's not a trick question. I think practically, when we get really busy during times of challenge, we can easily veer off our path, even though the path is a path of liberation. And so when things are challenging, we may easily forget that maybe it's even more important to turn to this path or remember this path or renew the path even. And I think sometimes we interpret sufficient conditions to practice as being a whole, everything has to be just in order, then we can practice. And so, what if challenging situations are the sufficient conditions to practice? And not just when everything is going as planned. No, and you know what I mean? Like when our lives kind of like those times when that happens, when there's less distractions, when things are going like we had hoped. And then we say, oh, now I have sufficient conditions, I can practice. But what if sufficient conditions are actually the distractions, are actually things going exactly not the way we want it to go? And the reason I ask this question is because right now we're in a lot of sufficient conditions for practice on a global scale. If there were challenging times that we were saying, when it's getting really challenging and things are just, and there's wars and there's climate disasters and there's an authoritarian government about to root itself, then I'll practice. What if we had said that? Let me be careful because 8 years ago, let's say 20 years ago, okay, 20 years ago, or maybe even 4 years ago when we thought we were done with Mr. Trump, right? We could have been saying, oh, things are settled down, and so all things are good. I don't, I can chill on my practice, because I got this. Or maybe we could say, oh, now things are settled. I don't have to worry about this person in the White House anymore. He's gone. There's no big wars. There's always wars, right? There's been a level of wars for the last 15 years or more, right? And we said, oh, now I can practice because things have calmed down. And so now here we are, right? 2025. And all the distractions that we could think of are here. Many, many changes in the world, not in accordance with our plans. I don't know. Which good person on the path of liberation would plan for this? And yet, The Dharma is actually the skillful means for just this time, these times that we're in. And why do I say that? I say that because the Dharma, the way the Buddha realized the Dharma, was saying, we have to acknowledge the things that are not going right. And in doing so, we're going to start to dig deeper and try to figure out what's the root causes of those things so we can put an end to it. It wasn't, nothing's going wrong here, and there's no ill being, there's no challenging things going on, there's no difficulties. So, hey, no, it's just the opposite. It was a path stating and beginning the first teachings were there is this thing called suffering. It doesn't have to be, and everything is not suffering, and also there is this thing called suffering. Well, right now we're kind of like right there, dropped in it, aren't we? And so this first noble truth of the teachings is very clear. We have to acknowledge it, and then we have to, in the second truth, we have to find the root causes. We have to find the root causes. And so right now, there's climate disaster, these fires in LA, in Tibet, the earthquake, there's a war, very many wars, many unrest in different countries, in Africa, in Haiti, children are starving in the Ukraine, in the in the Middle East, in the Gaza Strip. There's many disasters. And then there's this man and his friends who believe that immigrants are bad people, that trans people are not shouldn't be invited into the larger human family and afforded the rights and responsibilities as such, and who believes in annexing anything that's not, well, I won't say not owned, but just annexing, taking over, bringing authority to something that is not yours, and many other things, right? Many other things. Belief in the wealth, the wealthy should not be taxed, and well, the poor will figure that out. So these are many things to practice with, and this is the collective on the global world social scale. Does not even start. Not even mentioning our individual suffering, our individual ill-being, our individual distractions and disturbances that are going on just right in our own body, and then right in our own smaller communities, or families, or co-working work situations, or school situations, the struggles and suffering that are going on there. So there are many opportunities, there are so many opportunities to practice now with these Four Noble Truths. In fact, you can take every single one and say, okay, if I was to follow this formula, suffering exists, acknowledge it, find the causes of it, then that leads, that realization is like, oh, okay, we can bring an end to this. And then here's the path leading to the end. So there's this formula that we can apply to everything. But it always starts with ourselves. It always starts with ourselves. So, and it's not easy, right? So I think these two things, when I say it's not easy starting with ourselves. In fact, often we want to start with the factors outside of us is often it's often what we prefer to do. And yet these teachings really encourage us to look and to see how do we start? What are we experiencing? How are we suffering? Why are we suffering? Right? I mean, there. Do you know there's? I don't know what percentage of the population voted for Trump, but not everybody's suffering. There's some happy people right now, very happy people in this world, in this country. Right? All the ones that voted for Donald Trump, very happy people. Right? So not everyone is suffering. So we are suffering. And so part of this question is it's an interrogation, it's an investigation. Why am I suffering? When there's other people, more than half the country, supposedly, not quite true, but right? More than half the people who voted, right, are happy. And they're looking forward to what a Trump pres another Trump presidency brings. And so then the question is then, why am I suffering for this? And it's like for each one of the things that cause us suffering, that's the question, why am I suffering for this? Because for each thing that we're suffering from, it's really important to know that not everyone is suffering for that. If you were to bring that those same causes and conditions that's making us suffering to another person, another human form, they may not suffer. You see? And so that's why it's so important to start with always starting with ourselves and asking, why are we suffering? Why is this body mind suffering from this thing? And always remember that, you know, it's the thing that can have two people standing right next to each other and they hear something and one people is completely offended by it and the other person's just neutral. Then, you know, they don't get it. Like, what's the big deal, right? So that kind of looking into the why of, and for now we don't worry so much about why is that other person not offended or not suffering from what was just said. The question is really, why are we suffering? Because that's what's going to put an end to our suffering. And that's what's going to enable us to take care of other people like us who are suffering for similar reasons. But it gets first always at our own selves. Yeah. And so even though so much catastrophe is ongoing, and it doesn't mean we just turn a blind eye and turn away from the external social suffering. No, it means that in this ability to look deeply and understand why we suffer, it allows us to take part in ending that suffering in a more sustainable way, in a way that we don't get tired because we're really clear. We come into it with deep clarity. And coming into something with a deep wisdom and clarity as to why we're there, that's what keeps us grounded in what we're doing. That's what makes us not tired. That's what makes us able to be a light for others who haven't been able to do that kind of understanding in their own hearts. And so then we become the light, we become the torch to help others also realize their own awakening, because you see that inward gaze of why we suffer, it's what brings us to awakening. We awake to that suffering. We awake to the understanding of why we suffer. And in that awakening, there's one thing less in us that's dimming our light. Our bright light that's dimmed by our non-understanding, by our ignorance of who we really are, of the truth of full truth of who we are. And so in that those moments of the understanding, it's a moment of realization, and then our light shines because it's not clouded over anymore. And then we bring that light to the situation. We bring that light to the world. And someone might say, "Why are you so calm? In the midst of this, why are you so calm? How come you're so calm? Why aren't you upset?" You know, when people say that to you, "Why, how come you're not upset? You just seem like you're really steady. You're grounded." And that's already bringing a transformation to that external situation. You see, so you see, it's our self-transformation that brings forward the opportunity for greater transformation, because now we become that light. We help the others see, and they get curious and they want to know, "Well, I want some of that too. I want some of that rootedness. I want to be the light too. I want to shine the light for so and so, and I want to help. You know, I have this friend who's really in having lots of anxiety, having lots of anger, having all these things that a lot of us are feeling right now, fear. And so I want to bring that same kind of calm that you just brought into the space that I'm with you. I want to offer that." And so then you share that with them. And then they do their own reflection. And then they realize calm. They understand why. They get deep into why, you know, why are we so fearful? Oh, because this can happen. This, and we, and they look at it. And then sometimes just looking at why the fear is there, what it's connected to. Well, where's this? Oh, is it connected to the original fear of not belonging, the original fear of coming out the mom's womb and feeling, where am I? I'm not nice and cozy in the water anymore. You know, who's gonna take care of me? Oh, I gotta cry to get food. And so we start to see, oh, my fear comes from this, or oh, my sadness comes from this time when this happened. And in connecting to that, getting that insight, we don't have the fear is not so big anymore. We see very clearly, oh, this is what this is. Let me not connect my other original fear or my other sadness or my other anger to this situation. Oh, I see clearly. And now I bring that clarity to the situation. And then we bring that to others who are also now able to learn from us. And in so doing, we slowly form bigger communities of care, bigger communities of solidity, bigger communities of calm in the midst of what's happening, where our blood pressure doesn't explode every time we see something on the internet, something else happening. You know, we take it in because now we've become more clear and grounded. You know, we're steady, our roots steady. You know, it's like a tree that has deep, deep roots into the soil. Maybe the top, when the wind blows, the top moves a bit, but it doesn't break. It just sways a little bit. So that's how it happens. And right now, we really would like to root really deep, really deep. So that any wave that comes, it's not an ignoring the waves. It's not a pushing away or hiding from it or pretending it's not there. No, it's an ability that to be so rooted that we sway, we acknowledge, we sway, and we have the clarity to know what is ours to do. Oftentimes in these moments of crisis or in chaos or bewilderment, we kind of don't know what to do. And sometimes that not knowing what to do actually makes us feel even more anxiety. Sometimes it makes us feel more angry, makes us more fearful, makes us more sad. Because we feel like, you know, that feeling, I got to do something. I got, you know, that little bit of a, anxiety attack, gotta do something. And so in that moment, if we're able to maintain our groundedness, our solidity, our steadiness, because we're so rooted, we know exactly what is ours to do in that moment. It's an insight that naturally bubbles up because it's clear and we can see. But when we're not clear and rooted, there's a lot of, again, it's like the water that has a lot of mush in it and stuff. You can't see what's under there. But when it's clear and calm, you can see. So it's not that you're calm and rooted and you just sit, and you don't act. It's that the clarity and the calmness is what allows you to act in the most insightful way. And so your action actually comes from a place of insight. And that's what allows the compassion. So our action then becomes fiercely compassionate, actually, because we're clear, we're not confused. We're not being affected by the collective consciousness. So this is actually one of the, I think, big one of those big reasons to figure out how we are going to practice during these times to maintain our calm, right? So we can maintain our calm, so we bend but don't break. So we bring that calm, that lightness, that insight into the collective space. And so we are not affected by the collective consciousness. Right? The collective consciousness right now is one of turmoil. It's one of fear. It's one of what are we going to do? What do we expect? What next? Everybody's asking, do you have your go bag? What are we going to do? Are we ready to evacuate? It's very reactionary, right? The society has a reactionary consciousness right now. We were already there, and then these fires in LA, it's just so unexpected and so out of control that things that we think are normal are not normal anymore. And so it allows and it pushes us into even more reactions, right? And we have to name these things, right? Trump is a felon now, officially, with no punishment. And so now we look at the legal system, not that it worked before, but so let's be clear. But here's this wealthy person who's committed a crimes, one is a felon and not no type, I'm not going to say no punishment, because I'm not going to get into like what's the way that we find justice. But there's no accountability. There is no accountability. Right? And so what that can do is it can leave us feeling there's no accountability for injustice. There's no accountability for wrongdoing. There's no accountability, which is to this very public way of injustice happening, very largely public, and there is no accountability. So all these things, right? It leaves us feeling like nothing is everything's shaky. Nothing is fitting together. We think of things like oh, like a the old-fashioned tables and chair where the pieces of wood stick together. They stick in, and that sticking in is creates the solidity, the steadiness of the table and the chair, the way the old craftsman, craftsperson would do it. But now those things aren't like that. We don't do much of that way of building furniture anymore. And in the same way in the world, things aren't fitting together like they're supposed to fit together. And so what does it do with the table when they start loosening? Is they become shaky as soon as you touch it. Those of you who've been sitting around my table, you know, as soon as your knee touches the table, something spills. Because that table is one like that. Yeah. That's why I'm using that metaphor, because I need to get it fixed. But I got on the floor and looked at it the other day, and there's one piece that's like way out like this, and I'm thinking, yeah, of course, no wonder the thing doesn't have any stability. Nothing is holding it together, right? And so that's where we're at now, is everything that's supposed to hold together. You do this, this happens, right? The legal system says this. There's policy, and it says this, right? We have all kinds of things in place that have been built built up. But it's all coming apart like this. So things are very shaky. So what is ours to do is to, for our own selves to become very much like this. We need to get all our pegs and pieces of our table and chairs fitted solidly together like this right now. So we're not shaky. You see how it, you see it's very sturdy. You see? Because it's reinforced. And that's what our practice does, is it makes us like this. It gets all the people pieces together. And then when we're like this, we help other people in the social networks we're in, this community, the small communities. You know, two people make a community. So if we're like this, those two people in our community become like that. They're now together like that. And as the community, different communities we're in grow, then they get like that too. And when you start building that kind of infrastructure with each other through our practices, through our rootedness, then we become really solid and we know what to do. And what we do is we help each other stay in our practice. Like communities like this, these are communities of practice, Sangha. But it doesn't have to be a spiritual community. It can be our family, it can be our friends, it can be our work community, our workout community, our craft community, whatever that community is. Because it's in these times that we're prone, if we're not like this and we're shaky like this, that we're prone to going off. When I say go off, I mean meltdowns. I mean, cursing somebody out, doing things that we don't want to do and that we'll regret later. And actually, quite frankly, I feel we don't have the option anymore to not practice, because it's really all we have is we have practice, and we have to be so clear. We need to be so insightful. We need to be so wise. We need to be so loving. We need to be so compassionate and kind. And the collective energy is pushing all of that away. It's saying, each person for themselves, authoritarian dictatorship, grab what you need because we got to figure out what we'll do to get through this. And so in these times, it's the times that we really need to figure out how to stay solid so we can bring forward all the values that we believe in, the values of justice, the values of connection, the values of compassion and kindness, values of patience and love. Everything else is saying, well, everyone's doing this on this national collective level. You think I'm going to do that? Heck no. I'm going to just figure out what's mine and I'm going to go in my corner. And so these places now it's a time, these places that are getting looked at to continue to broaden that have to be really stopped. And the way we stop that is the antidote, right? It's the antidote is the opposite of it, right? The antidote of taking life is preserving life, respecting life, even more feeling that the life of a human, no matter who they are, is worthy. And because everybody's lying and it's fake news, it doesn't mean it's okay to do that. Even more important it is for us to practice with the fourth mindfulness training of not lying and how we use speech. And because we have a president and all the people or the majority of people he's bringing in who've done some kind of sexual assault, sexual act outside of marriage, that sends a message that this is okay. Even more, we need to cling to our third mindfulness training of protecting the family from harm, sexual harm, or any kind of harm of that nature. So you see, we're actually have all the skillful tools there for us. And now what we need to do is just really drop into practice. And so I encourage us to relook at our practices. If we're sitting 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, think about increasing that. Introduce walking meditation into your day. If it's walking from the bed to the toilet in the morning, at night, whatever it is, just thinking about what are the practices that are going to keep bringing us back to ourselves so we can notice our habitual tendencies and that those habitual tendencies that we want to transform, that we continue to do that and we don't fall off because, well, you know, it was those 4 years where everything was crazy. So, you know, of course I could practice. Like that's not what we want to do. We actually want to really settle in and build our infrastructure of our hearts and build it in ourselves and build it in our community. So I'll stop there and invite a sound of the bell that we can just let all that Dharma rain just seep through and let it all go. What needs to stay will stay, what doesn't will go away.